Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of EloquenceOnline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon out to Power Financial Credit Union. His name is Dr. David. Hey, Dr. David, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. About 4 hours north of him, somewhere on the streets of Tampa, Florida, where I took my first Uber rides this week. Her name is Jennifer Maxfield from the marketing department at GTE Financial. Hey, J-Max, how are you?
Great.
It is so nice to have you back on the show. Yep. Studio audience heard about all that money y'all gave away yesterday, and they're trying to suck up. Just ignore them. They are not the smartest people in the world. All right, hey, listen, tell us about this amazing GTE 3D.
So yesterday was our grand opening. We did a virtual grand opening, very similar to if we had opened a new physical location, and we hosted about 200 avatars. So these are real people that logged in, created a custom avatar, and then explored our brand new GTE 3D world, which is fully equipped with all of our awesome products and services. Our staff was logged in, engaging anybody who walked in the door. And we even had a scavenger hunt contest, too, where people could win $25 Amazon gift cards if they found all the clues. So it was just hoopla and fun galore.
It was really, really cool. I enjoyed walking around. I know, David, you said you had a chance to explore it a little bit. What did you think?
Oh, I thought it was amazing. At first, your mind is racist thinking about the applications and how it can be leveraged and used, and it really is. And, of course, you and I traded back and forth on emails about that, but I just think that it's a powerful new medium of how to enhance engagement.
Well, I'll tell you what. GT Financial doesn't push the envelope or think outside the box. They destroyed both those things a long, long time ago. Jennifer Maxfield, or as I call her, J-Max, I really thought it was, and I meant this, it was the coolest thing I'd seen in 16 years of banking. And for it to come on the same day where y'all awarded not one but two grand prizes of 80 mortgage payments to two members. It was a pretty fantastic week out in Tampa, and I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join us. Tell Mandy Zurbrick, who's in the car with you, to drive safely, to go the speed limit, and I hope you guys get to where you're going safe and sound. And again, thank you so much for touching base with us today. And congratulations.
I also just encourage you, absolutely, thank you so much for having me. I just want to encourage you to visit gtfinancial.org. On our homepage, you can access GTE 3D. We have advocates logged in now, and we'd love to see you in 3D land. Thank you so much.
That's right. And you don't have to be a member. You can just go explore it,
as
an anonymous.
Anybody. Yeah. Yep.
Anybody's welcome. Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much, Max. You take care. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Jennifer Maxfield, everybody. Really cool. Really cool. And what a great way to put it. Everybody is welcome. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody is welcome on this show, too. I got an email a couple weeks ago from Jim Blaine, our buddy up at State Employees Credit Union in North Carolina. He said, you should reach out to this gentleman named Philip Endicott, who wants to talk about his dream for a credit union for the LGBTQ community. And so I called Philip, and he was very gracious. He was very patient with me, because I'm sure you could tell that I approached him with a good deal of – I think I probably sounded kind of awkward on the phone, but he was tremendously passionate about what he's doing. He was tremendously informative, and we're really looking forward to talking to him. And as I always say at this part of the show, the first thing I do – it's right here on my pad – I write down, say the name of the show. It's the first thing I write down. It's always the first thing I forget to do. The name of the show is The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Dr. David and I are going to talk to Philip Endicott and Elaine Wiley from Equality Washington. We're going to talk about their dream for creating a credit union for the LGBT community. We're going to ask them why they're doing it, how it's going, and how people can help. And we're going to join them right after this.
Yeah,
We are celebrating good times, and it is an honor to welcome. His name is Philip Endicott, and we have Elaine Wiley. Hey, welcome to the show, y'all. Hold on a second. Philip and Elaine,
yes,
are you with me?
Yes.
I am
yes,
so sorry.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. There we go. It helps not to forget to mute the microphones and then to mute them right before you bring people on the air, so forgive me. So first to you, Philip, tell us a bit about you and your career with credit unions.
Absolutely. So first of all, thanks for having us on the show. And I've been a credit union member for 30-plus years, my dad before that, many more, over 100 years collectively. I'm on the board of a small credit union here in Washington State at our state's capital. The credit union is Olympia Credit Union. And I have been interested in just the concept and framework that credit unions are built around. That idea and the mantra of people helping people really resonates with our community, the community that forms the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and allied community. And I want to make sure that we identify that when we say LGBT and even Q, which is sometimes questioning or queer, we also include those people that support us. And we say allied community, and that means anybody that supports and believes in equality and freedom and progressiveness. So I'm a community activist. I believe in helping people that are struggling, and those within our community, we've identified that need. Coming out of the HIV/AIDS epidemic, we are a community that it has fought for our civil rights and recognition, and now we need to make sure there's not discrimination in pursuing the American dream, which is credit and lending, which we currently know, according to statistics, there is plenty of discrimination going on. So that is the story.
And Elaine, tell us a bit about you.
Thank you. So I am a professional documentary filmmaker, but I got into the game of engaging with audiences, whether it's in colleges, high schools, businesses, nonprofit organizations, around workplace equality and equality for transgender people. And I've spent the last several years also engaging with employers about how they connect with their employees and also with their customers who identify as transgender, gender nonconforming, or genderqueer. And this became, I met Philip and his business partner Andrew several months ago, and it was really engaging to learn that a credit union actually could be really focused on this community and focused in it in a really incredible way. So it became a natural partnership.
So as you guys developed this, what are the, you know, tell us some of your goals for the credit union.
Sure. So we've been working at this for almost 2 years now, and the concept started over 20 years ago that and Ann Richards, I think, former governor of the great state of Texas, said it best: if you don't have a place, a seat at the table, you're likely on the menu. And I think that goes right to the heart of the matter, that if you leave your future at the risk of others who may not be in your community or know what you've come from or where you've come from, then you risk the chance that they're going to overlook you or misunderstand you, or that there might be miscommunication. And I think given where we have come from, years and years, I would say 100-plus years of discrimination, and most recently, you know, with the marriage equality case going through the Supreme Court, there are consequences to winning, and those consequences include a lot of backlash that happens. You know, research tends to underestimate the extent of anti-gay sentiment in society. The opposition to gay rights really removes or remains unmoved and outspoken. It's a significant voice, and when we do win things like court cases, there is usually a uplifting uproar of opposition to that. And I won't mention her name, but there's a person who stood up against that Supreme Court ruling and said, I'm not going to do my job. I'm actually going to I was elected and appointed into a federal position, but I'm going to deny people the right to get married. And, you know, it's situations like that that just bring to light the fact that there is discrimination that happens openly, but there's also very quiet discrimination that happens in the rooms of financial institutions when one is trying to get a loan or is trying to extend their credit. And those situations keep people from really realizing their dreams and the, really, let's go down to just the pursuit of happiness. What we're talking about here.
Yeah, absolutely true. Hey, Elaine, let me ask you, I think we lost Philip. I think he lost the call. He talked about consequences of winning. And is it true that sometimes when you have a very visible court case like the Marriage Equality Act, that some people that had advocated for your community in the past turn their efforts and their energy into something else?
You know, when and we've even seen that in Washington State, where a good number of the supporters and energy and efforts of a big win, like the marriage equality win in 2012, we start to see people move on to other forces, other causes, and sometimes very big campaigns eclipse a lot of other small campaigns. So at the same time people are fighting for marriage equality, for example, transgender people are also fighting for recognition for to fight oppression. You know, they're often rejected from homeless shelters. They receive employment discrimination. They're even discriminated against in receiving loans, housing. The list goes on. So it's actually really exciting to see some of these communities saying, "Hey, you know what? We've supported marriage equality. We still support a lot of other measures. So we're going to keep giving. We're going to keep pushing. We're not just going to disappear into the woodwork."
All right, and we do have Philip back, hey, David. So you can continue.
Yeah. So, sorry about that technology. mobile phones.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead, David. All right.
Well, I mean, I got cut off there as well. But so just kind of continuing the theme of the credit union getting started last 2 years. So, you know, how did you guys recognize the need, and how do you, envision the credit union fulfilling that need over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? And then also what process, where are you at today? Where do we stand today with this?
Sure. Well, we recognize the need just in the amount of stories, anecdotes, and the realization that as marriage equality and other rights were beginning to occur, and we were really coming out of the shadows as a new community, but a new community that has a lot of baggage in terms of sort of damage, really. And that significance means that we do need special, and it's not special rights, it's not special offers, it's just awareness. It requires one to have awareness of from where people come from the difficulties and challenges that they spring. And so we vetted the idea. We went to a number of business leaders, both gay, lesbian, and straight, and we talked about this idea of forming a credit union and pooling our resources so that we could help those that are struggling within our community, but also to push progressive ideas and open the eyes within an institution and an industry that is fairly closed-minded still. Other areas of, I think, our culture and industries, healthcare industry, even insurance industry, is beginning to move and be more progressive. The banking industry is still back 30, 40 years ago, and it requires, I think, us that are making, that have the opportunity to make changes to do something about that. You know, in 29 states, it still remains legal for financial institutions to consider sexual orientation a credit risk. 29
wow.
states, that's a majority of the U.S. You can
I never
still
knew that.
Deny somebody. Yeah, absolutely. That is, so you can get married in one state to, you know, your male partner or, you know, your lesbian partner, and go in to get a loan, and a bank or a credit union even can say, you know, we don't give loans to lesbian couples, or you're too much of a risk. We don't understand you. So it's not that we don't want to give them to you. We haven't understood the risk there. So what we did, we went to our DFI, and Linda Jekyll, who is the head of our DFI here in Washington State, was very receptive to this idea. And we've met with her in person and chatted with her staff, and we've realized that we need a partner in this effort. That to open a brand new credit union not only requires a great deal of money and time, but when you launch a brand new credit union, there are many services you can't provide. And those are services that make a credit union competitive and really provide the services nationally, and we do envision this to be a national, a federally chartered credit union that reaches beyond the state of Washington and really into every major metropolitan in the United States. But we need a partner that, and we've decided what we're going to do is approach this from a DBA. We will leverage a charter and some of the services from a credit union or a collective of credit unions that recognize that this is vital and important, and that we shouldn't leave this to the banking industry. This is a responsibility of the credit union industry. And this is not only a responsibility, it's an opportunity. I mean, yep. We have what we only, as the credit union industry has only 6% of the market, almost an equal number of credit unions to banks, and yet we only have 6% of the market. We should jump at this chance, you know, to show care and support to a community that is asking for it and needs it.
I wanted to ask Elaine, because Elaine, you were identified to me in the intro. You are a transgender woman. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. And I was talking to some people at GTE yesterday about this show, that we were going to do this show, and they talked about how a new employee orientation, they covered this, that there are times when people come in for account services and have, because we don't get our driver's license every month. We sometimes get it every 3 or 4 years, that sometimes the picture on the driver's license doesn't match the person standing in front of you, but it is that person. The name hasn't changed. That's something that is that would not be a problem, that would be easily understood in a credit union like this for your community. Is that true?
Absolutely. You know, creating a structure to understand that human beings come in all shapes and sizes and varieties, and not just in chocolate and vanilla and strawberry flavors, the usual flavors. We come in on every human under the sun, and every way that people can be expressed in their lives. That's what's going to walk in through the doors, and you have no idea. And to be able to have a structure in place that accommodates that, that puts you in a better position financially, socially, to engage with customers. Nobody gets left behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're visiting with Elaine Wiley and Philip Endicott, Equality Washington, the soon-to-be Equality Washington Credit Union. When we get back from the break, Dr. David Tuyo is going to ask them what their goals are for the rest of the year in 2016 and kind of what they need from people that want to help. And we will do it all right after this. U.S. Army days, right down the coast at Fort Ord, California, in beautiful Monterey. I must have listened to that song about a million times. Before I go to David, I had to ask real quick, both because Elaine and Philip, I talked about this in the intro of the two of you. Philip, when I called you, the first thing I felt like I had to say was, oh, by the way, I'm straight. And you could probably sense that I was a little uncomfortable. And even when I was setting up the bump, say, the musical bumps, I was thinking, I don't want to play any musical bumps that are going to sound like I'm trying to be, because I promised you, this is going to be a respectful, thoughtful conversation about your dreams. How do you respond to somebody like me that still sometimes has, I don't know what to call it. I don't know if awkward is the right word, but I was trying to be so very deferential and polite, which is people in the credit union marketplace know is not really my personality. How do you respond to that?
Sure. You know, I was impressed. And the fact that, and it takes boldness, I think, you know, to be able to be progressive. And you know, progressive isn't conservative or liberal. Progressive is it's about moving forward in a way that just begins to put behind us the friction and difficulties of an error that is fed by fear and misunderstanding. So to be able to say, hey, I don't quite understand this, but I want to make something clear. These are my feelings, and I may make a mistake, is the way that we're going to move forward. And I have to say, you know, really, the reason that we're doing this is to help people, but it's also it's establishing a progressive movement and reinforcing an ideal. And you know, a figure really resonated with me. And we have a young man that works with us. We're really a staff of three people that are working full time on this project and on a shoestring budget. But we have a young guy in our office. We call him Max, Brian Maxwell. And he's a millennial, and he gives us a lot of great millennial perspective. But the amazing thing, so 71% of millennials supported marriage equality, and regardless of their sexual identity, whether they're gay, straight, or lesbian, transgender, whatever their gender identity or sexual orientation background, 71% said, you know what, we believe in this. We believe that people should be able to pursue happiness, love each other, and make a life together. I think that number, really, when you look at that against you know, our current leadership and decision makers, that says progress is about moving forward with these ideas of supporting progressiveness, supporting people that are different. And I think we're doing it for that reason, that we need to build inroads and to build a highway into the future that says that credit unions recognize progressiveness, recognize the needs of people that have been discriminated against, that are just now coming out of the shadows. And we are going to take that answer, that call, and support this community in ways that we may not even yet understand. And when we talk about gender neutrality, and as Elaine said, people can really identify in any way they want. How do you train a staff to be able to respond to the fact that don't just turn a blind eye, but you need to understand that we're all unique? I mean, we're really a mosaic. Each of us, you know, a unique tile. It's not just a goo that, you know, we're all trying to be the same. No, we want to celebrate our differences. And by celebrating that, that does mean, from a customer service perspective, we have to understand it so that we can respond to, you know, the challenges that different people have, and to appreciate that. And I think, Jason, you did that in saying, you know, I want to appreciate your difference. I want to understand it because I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I think we got through something there.
Yeah.
And, we've grown because of it, right?
Yeah. Dr. David?
So, I, you know, kind of bringing it back to the credit union again, was there any or was there ever any talk or discussion about a bank versus a credit union? So was there a choice there, you know, between the two, or was it always a credit union? And can you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we were approached by several bankers who saw this as a great opportunity to make a pile of money. And, you know, our community is just like many others. We have very wealthy people who have worked very hard, mainly, and I think personally I can tell you, I work hard because I've been told by society that I'm a failure. And so I am going to work extra hard to show you that I can succeed, that I can do it, and I can be just like everybody else. So the result is many of us have fought really hard and have done really well. And I think banks see that as an opportunity to take that 5-8% of the LGBT population and, you know, drain those, you know, market to the community, but not really try to understand or reach out. When I look at the credit union model and where it came from, it's about people who share a common bond, and not just that community, but it's about other people saying, yeah, we recognize that, and we want to support you in forming a group that will do something for yourself. You're not just asking for handouts. You want to form some support group financially, because the industry in large form is not going to do that. They may market to you, but they are not going to look at the details and really try to understand the unique individual tiny challenges, such as some of the challenges that we were talking about with the transgender community. This takes a very nimble and agile organization and institution, which Equality Credit Union seeks to be. And I think the credit union framework, which is owned by members, it's a democratic institution where you can hear different voices. That's what's important here. Also, the reinvestment back into the community, that is key. This is not money going into wealthy people's pockets. This is money going back into a community to help a community that has struggled for years and years, so that it can make some positive, bold choices into the future.
And kind of along the lines of what you're saying, the National Credit Union Foundation posted something today on Facebook, and it was very simple, but I always like these, you know, simple and to the point quotes, and it says that the service we render to humanity is our only real claim to immortality. And it's almost like, you know, first off, I want to commend and applaud you for not getting turned off and giving up on your fight, but using the fences and hurdles that were in a way as sources of motivation to accomplish something that truly will make a legacy, or leave a legacy rather, both for the community as well as credit unions in general, about and renew us really for what we do and what we're meant to do is serving members, and to get back to the basics of really serving people. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is people helping people and promoting thrift and providing credit. So I think this is a fantastic, again, I want to commend you and applaud you on not giving up.
I wanted to ask Elaine something. You said something that really resonated with me, Elaine. You said, we're not all chocolate and vanilla. And that really resonates with me, because I am adopted by two Anglo parents. Mm-hmm. I am Latin, married to the only Mexican Baptist, apparently, that attended the University of Texas at San Antonio when I met her. There is nothing about me. When I get ready to fill out those little forms that you have to when you get a new job or something, they say, what are you, black, white, Asian American, Pacific Islander? Uh-huh. I never know what box to check. All I know is that I am a very good-looking Latin man in his 40s. The studio audience is rolling their eyes. Yes, very funny. But I agree with that. I think you're right. There is no column to check sometimes. And so how will Equality Credit Union limit those kinds of barriers to people perhaps in your situation, people that are in the process of changing their gender, and most importantly, what do y'all need to make this a reality?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's just fascinating. Credit unions are a significant departure from the usual box, which is the bank. And the way that a credit union is structured, the ideals, the place in society and business and in commerce, is just a significant departure. And being able, I think a natural extension of that is really reaching out to this community. It's saying, hey, we're not playing by the usual rules. We're creating a brand new scenario, a brand new environment for people to engage in. And I think at Equality Washington, we're going to be able to address that. We're already thinking, we're not using boxes. How about a blank line? How about understanding that we get to be individuals? We get to engage with each other as a community. And we don't have to play by the old rules. We get to make up what we want to.
Very, very cool. Dr. David?
Well, I think we did talk about, at some point, we talked about the goals for this year. That was how we left it at break. And so I guess we'll go back to Phil quickly. You know, for the rest of 2015, of course, we only have a couple months, and then into the first half or even the entire year 16. What are the near-term goals for this initiative?
Sure, that's awesome. Next topic, and really what we come back to daily. So it is how we can make this happen. We've done the vetting. We've talked to our community. There's a lot of support. We are talking with a very well-known individual in San Francisco. His name is Cleve Jones. Cleve Jones was protege to Harvey Milk. And most recently, if anybody has seen the movie Milk, where Sean Penn played Harvey Milk, Harvey Milk was the first openly gay city council member in San Francisco and really the leader of, I think, the change, at least politically, in the appetite of people to really listen to LGBT rights. And Harvey Milk was assassinated while he was in his office, and Cleve was there and encountered this and experienced it and changed his life forever. And really the movie was told through of Milk was told through Cleve's eyes and his story. And he went on to form a project called the Names Project, which is the AIDS quilt, the largest piece of folk art in American history, and that recognized people that had died from HIV/AIDS. And this is an important piece of us moving forward, because we have to connect with people that can really get things done. And we are at the point now where we have accessed funds. We did an Indiegogo campaign, which is an online campaign, and raised $50,000.
Wow.
These are sort of drops in the bucket in terms of what we really need to get some things done. We've got a great pitch in terms of what we need financially, but we are looking for a credit union partner or a collection of partners. We've got one credit union which their board is talking about some support, some significant support, and might likely match some other credit union support. But we need the industry to really respond to the point that we're at with some financial support. And Cleve and a group from San Francisco will help pull together some names of notoriety and some significant folks and personalities, both from Hollywood and some other locations, that will endorse this this concept, this idea that a credit union for progressiveness, for equality, equality credit union is something that is going to help lead a small community into the future, but will make a stand for all people. And so we're looking for financial support. We have a website that individuals and organizations can go to. We go under the name Saga Center for Change. Saga is S-A-G-A, centerforchange.org. And you can go there, and we've got a place for donations. You can also contact us, and Jason, I would imagine you've got a place that people can access our email addresses. But
I will add all of that to the episode page as soon as the show is over. I'll absolutely add the Saga website, and you just send me any information you want on that episode page, and I will update it before the noon hour here, Central Standard Time. It would be my pleasure to do that.
Excellent. And, I think there's a conversation you and I have talked at length, and I've really enjoyed our conversations. So you've got a very religious background, and I think what's important about the struggle that we're having, which, even the marriage equality struggle, it boiled down to, at one point, a religious stand. And I think what's very important to understand here is that this is beyond, that's where a lot of the struggle came from. And you and I have talked about this, and I think it is really wonderful that this is really about struggle and about helping people realize a life of
I believe in celebrating people's dreams. Yeah, I believe in celebrating people's passion and people's dreams. We've always done it on this show. We have never once told anybody that they can't be on this show. If you've got a story to tell, if you've got an aspiration, if you've got a dream, you are, and you guys are always welcome back on this show. And we love to end the show on just kind of a fun question. So I want to start with Elaine. Elaine, when you're not advocating and doing stuff for Equality Credit Union, what are some of your hobbies? What are some of the things you like to do just for fun?
Well, I, as I stated earlier, I'm a filmmaker. I absolutely love watching and creating films. I love the do some improvisational acting.
All right.
I'm a sucker for road trips, so you'll probably see me on the coast. Oregon and Washington coast are absolutely beautiful. If you ever get out to the left coast
here. Oh, yes,
they are.
I had a big client in, he wasn't a big credit union, but I went up there a lot to Brookings, Oregon, down on the southwest coast of Oregon, that beautiful, beautiful part of Oregon. But go ahead. Don't let me interrupt you.
And no, I was going to say, Brookings is just south of where my family has property. So if you ever get up to Bandon and you like golfing, then that's the place for you.
Now you're speaking my language, Elaine.
Language. I got to tell you a quick story, Elaine. We used to do these concerts for financial literacy, and we did one. Our first one ever was at the Brookings Harbor High School, and the guitarist, who is a just phenomenal golfer, went up with a group of people to Bandon and hit a hole-in-one. And it was a big deal. Yeah, this little guy, nobody ever heard of this guy. And he's in paper the first time he goes to Oregon. I've been there 3 or 4 times. Nobody even knows my name. But that's great.
Right.
And, of course, to you, Philip, when you're not advocating and working for Equality Credit Union, what are some things that you like to do?
So this is going to sound a little strange, but and I take this from my dad, who's a dentist in South Carolina. But I have picked up by way of his handing them off to me, a little bit of a car collection. They're outdated cars, but I've now got a classic Corvette that I drove from South Carolina all the way up to Seattle, Washington. And just recently, 2-3 weeks ago, got a little two-seater Mercedes from my dad. And, you know, these sound like fancy great cars. They are a bit beater, and so I'm taking an interest in updating classic cars. And
you tell your dad if he's got any hot Corvettes and he needs a place to park them, my address is right here. Yeah, I got plenty of driveway space. I'll be happy to move my B car, my crappy 2004 Hyundai Sonata, out of the way. Make room for anything that he may want to drop by. Hey folks, we made the show for 45 minutes because I knew we had a lot to talk about. First and foremost, Philip and Elaine, and to your entire team, to Brian Maxwell, we got J-Max, you got B-Max. I want to wish you the very, very best of luck on everything you're doing. You are always welcome here. If you want to have your own podcast that you can use for marketing and promotional purposes, you just give me a call and we can make that happen. I love celebrating people that see a vacancy and try to fill it with something meaningful. And you've both been an absolute delight. And on behalf of David, Dr. Tuyo, and myself, we wish you nothing but peace and prosperity in everything you do. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Philip and Elaine. Really nice. Dr. David Tuyo and I will wrap it up right after this. That is right. This is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? A couple quick announcements. Dr. David, next week on the show, you don't want to miss it, Mr. Dan Berger, the president and CEO of NAPQ, is going to be our guest. Have wanted to have him on the show for a long, long, long time. Amanda Bigley from NAPQ was actually the first guest we ever had on this show 6 years ago. You heard Lane talking about doing some acting. When I was at GTE this week, I had the opportunity to see, they do it in one of the training rooms at GTE. They tape off the floor to make the stage and some props. I saw Tony Gilkinson from the Mad Theater in Tampa and his amazing cast. They're going to be putting on a production of Next to Normal. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most fascinating things I ever witnessed in my life. For those of you people that are in gig bands, you'd have got nothing on these dramatic presentations. The actors have to know exactly where to be, and the music guy is playing the piano for 2 hours straight. It is a choreography. It is a dance. It is a song. It is a story. Next to Normal, if you're in Tampa, you've got to go see this production. It was absolutely brilliant. And then finally, David, your thoughts. I think Equality Credit Union is onto something. I think they're going to find a legitimate need out there in the credit union marketplace.
Yeah, I think it's a message that's going to resonate with you know, our family, our movement, our industry, whatever you want to call it. You know, from the very beginning, you know, nearly 20 years ago, I was taught, you know, the only reason why you ever turn down a loan is if you don't think you're going to get paid back, and for no other reason. And to hear these challenges today, there obviously is a real need in the marketplace. And we may think in our vacuum of our 6% market share that maybe we're already doing that, but we got to remember there's 94% out there that we can still continue to try to go after and get. And also, as far as next week's show, very excited about hearing Dan Berger. It's always a pleasure to be around Dan, hear his thoughts and ideas. And as a recent member of NAFQ, we're proud to be a member of NAFQ and excited about their vision for the future with their advocacy, compliance, and education initiatives there out of D.C.
Yeah, I am too. I've really wanted to have him on for a long time. Again, many, many thanks to Philip Endicott and Elaine Wiley. We will get all that information for their credit union and their foundation, a way to contact them. I know they need financial support. They need moral support. They just need people to believe in this. And we're going to get all that contact information. And if they allow us, we'll put the phone numbers and everything else on the episode page. We start the show technically at 11:45 Eastern Standard Time. You can call into Blog Talk Radio 15 minutes before the show goes live, what we call the pre-show. So I didn't just give Dr. David Tuyo last-minute notice. I sent him the email at 11:46 Eastern Standard Time, asked him if he would jump on the show. So setting a new record for coming on the show as a co-host with the least amount of preparation, Dr. David Tuyo has that crown to wear. Hey, Dr. David, you and your beautiful family have a great time and a great weekend out there in Florida, and thank you so much for jumping on.
Always great spending lunch with you guys. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. And live from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, the studios of eloquentonline.net, my name is Jason Diaz. This has been the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Would you? Really? And if you can tell me how Burger King is still in business, I'm all ears. Until next we speak, I'll talk to you all next week. Take care. Bye.
The end, that's all, folks.